Once Jesus realized power had gone from him, he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." You know, if you study theology and you get theological books out to study it, or if you go to Bible college, there's certain words they use to describe God. Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. They use these words to describe the character of God, which means all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere. Also, they have another word, which is impassibility. Now, this word, and you only hear this word in these theological books, this word means God is incapable of suffering pain, incapable of suffering harm, and incapable of emotion. That's what they teach in theological books. But just a simple read of the Bible, God's Word, spells a different picture. I got saved when I was 15. I'm now 77, so that's, what's that, 63 years? For 63 years, I have never missed reading the Bible once. Every single day for 63 years, I've read my Bible. So I believe I can talk to you today from a little bit of knowledge. I'm not a novice. I don't know how many times I've read my Bible, but I've read it. And I just wanted you to know this, that I also started a Bible school here in Western Australia. I founded a Bible school, and I used to lecture in it. And then when the Bible school, as it grew, they wanted to get Austudy from the government. They applied for it, filled all the forms out, and we got it. Then the government said, because we're paying Austudy, no one can lecture in this college unless they have a degree in some sort of theology. Well, I never went to Bible college. I never even did a correspondence course. And suddenly the Bible college that I founded, I was not allowed to speak in. How many of you think that's a bit stupid? I couldn't speak in it at all. So I could only come down again and say a few words and give my testimony. I couldn't preach. But I want you to know, I believe in Bible colleges. But I believe that some of them teach a lot of rubbish. And when I look at this, these words that describe God, and then this particular word, which is impassibility, that actually means, and students are taught this, God is incapable of suffering pain, incapable of suffering harm, and incapable of emotion. There's another word that these theological books use, and I'll try to pronounce it. Anthropomorphism. And this word explains how God seems to suffer all these things. But we won't go there. To me, when you read the scriptures, especially the prophets like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, you see God describing himself as a forsaken parent seeking his children, as a jilted lover, as a divorced person. Sadness, pain, rejection describe God over and over again. God hurts when he sees this sad, bad, mad world with its violence, anger, hatred, lust, and greed. God is personally affected by this world's condition. He has not forsaken us, but we have forsaken him. In the sixth chapter of Genesis, this is what it says. God speaks and he says, I am sorry that I made man. I am sorry that I've put man on the earth for what he's turned out to be. Don't you use these words to describe God to me. Will you just go to the Bible to describe him? I see that God is a God of love. And let me just tell you something about love. I know that love is not emotion. I know that. But I tell you this, you can't have love without emotion. Can I say that again? Love is not emotion, but it's impossible to have love without emotion. If you love somebody, then emotion is there. If you love your kids, there's emotion. If you love your husband, there's emotion. If you love your friends, there's emotion. Don't tell me you can love somebody without emotion. It's impossible. The Bible says God is love. We get our love from God. If we're emotional, he is. Can you say amen? Amen. You're getting some good teaching here this morning. If you want to know what God is like, don't look in theological books. Go to the Bible. Read it for yourself. Read how God hurts. How he describes himself as a jilted lover. How he describes himself as a divorced person. When he's done all his utmost to try to bring the Israelites through all that they came through and bring them into the promised land. He gets them in the promised land and they desert him. It breaks the heart of God. Don't tell me that God has no feelings, that God can't be hurt. Don't you tell me that, because that's not the God that I know from the Bible. Now, if you've got an argument with that, you come and see me afterwards. But I'm telling you, God is an emotional God. God cares about you. He loves you, and he cares about you with emotion. God knows what you're going through. He sees your pain. He sees your suffering. When God looks down upon this world and he sees the wickedness around, the greed, the lust, the pain, the violence, the shame, don't think that doesn't affect God. Of course it affects God. He created us. He made us beautiful as we were. When God first made us, he says God was pleased with what he had made. It pleased him. God says it is very good. And he looks at it now and it's very bad. He sees people hurting people, killing people, raping people, robbing people, misusing people. That hurts the heart of God. If you're a Christian this morning, you serve a God who's got a heart, who has emotion, who cares for you and cares for this world. Do you know at the moment we're not in the day of judgment? Do you know that? We're in what the Bible calls a day of grace. I want to speak this morning about a spiritual chemical reaction that takes place when faith touches grace. Grace is a wonderful thing. Grace is God's love, it's God's forgiveness, it's pity, mercy, compassion, healing, salvation. They're just a few words that describe the word grace. God is a God of grace. If he's a God of grace, he's a God of forgiveness, hallelujah, mercy, love, compassion, pity, care, healing, and salvation. That makes up God's grace. Grace is like water. It always flows down. Grace always flows to the lowest point. Grace flows from the highest heaven to the lowest of the low here on earth. Where people are at the lowness, where people are hurting and ashamed, where people are broken, grace flows down to them. God makes sure that his grace like water flows down. Let me just say something now. You cannot offer grace to God. Only God can offer grace to this world. You can't offer it because you have none. Don't get upset with me. What I'm going to say now, don't get upset with me. I'm going to quote some scriptures. The Bible says, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm quoting the Bible. So I've been quoting the Bible to you. I'm telling you, you can't offer God grace. You can't, even if you want to, you can't, because you haven't got any. It's only God that's got grace, because he's perfect and he's done nothing wrong, and he can offer us his forgiveness, his love, his mercy, his pity, his compassion, his salvation, his healing. And I don't see anywhere where it's described better than in this story I've read to you. At school, I was pretty useless, especially in science and maths and things like that. But I was a bit of a, not a very nice kid. I was always doing what the teachers didn't want me to do. One day, I was in the classroom with a science room. And, you know, back in the days when they had, still, I suppose, they still have Bunsen burners. Does that ring a bell? Bunsen burners. And he would be heating things up, and he would be showing us things. So I got this Bunsen burner when he went out for something, and I put something inside this container, and I put it on, and then I thought, oh, not much is happening there. So I held the container, and I put something else in that I didn't know what it was. I put it in, and as soon as I did, the thing just blew up and exploded all over my fingers. My fingers were burned. When he came in, he wasn't sympathetic with me, I can tell you. He says, Warwick, what have you been doing? I said, nothing, sir. I just put that there with that. He says, you've put two chemicals together. And do you know what has happened? I said, no. He said, there's been a chemical reaction. I said, what? I'd never heard of that before. A chemical reaction. How many of you have heard of chemical reactions? When certain chemicals come together, they what? React. Something happens. I never forgot that. All those years, I remember about chemical reactions. But this morning, I want to talk to you about a chemical reaction that's a spiritual one. Hallelujah. You see, compassion flows down, but faith reaches out. The only thing you and I have got, the only real thing that we've got because of our sinful condition, the only thing is faith. Our faith can reach out to God. And when our faith reaches to him, something wonderful happens. In this story, it tells of a woman. Now, when I get to heaven, I've told you before, I'm going to look for this woman. It could take me a million years to find her, but I'll find her. See, the Bible doesn't actually give her name. But I'll find her. And when I find her, I'm going to give her a big hug. Do you know why? Because this woman has been such an inspiration to me over the years. It was a woman, she was a Jewess, and she was hemorrhaging, bleeding quite heavily. And so because she was a Jewess, she would have gone to the priests for prayer, and all that they went through to try to get her God to heal, and nothing happened. And she still bled. In fact, the Bible says for 12 years she'd been bleeding. That's a long time to be bleeding. That would have left her anemic, sickly, ill. She would be fainting regularly. He said, so she went to the doctors, and the doctors couldn't help her. She went to the quacks, and they couldn't help her. He says, she spent all that she had and trying to get this bleeding stopped. Nothing worked. She tried the priests, she tried the doctors, she tried the quacks, and she was 12 years later a very sick woman and in poverty. I reckon that this is a woman that is a candidate to become bitter. In my life, I've met many bitter people, and I've heard stories that bitter people tell. Things go wrong in their life. I remember there was a man when I used to work back in England, and this man used to hate me witnessing for Jesus. Because when I first got saved, I just couldn't keep my mouth shut. I was always witnessing. I worked in a factory with 200 men. And if I was talking to three or four guys witnessing to Jesus, this guy would come up. He was older than me, and he'd spit on the floor and push me away. He was so angry and so bitter if I talked about Jesus. And one day I said to him, "What's your problem?" He says, "You never went through the war like I went through the war. You didn't see what I saw, the atrocities. Don't talk to me about God. Don't talk to me about the love of God. Don't do that. I can't stand you when you preach." So he was very angry with me. Now stay awake, everybody. Nobody fall asleep. Nobody's allowed to fall asleep. If I'm staying awake, you better. Do you hear me? Stay awake. Because I've got something very important. I've changed this message because I believe God's told me to. So somebody, if it's only just one person here, needs to hear this. But you all need to hear it. So do I. Bitterness, the sorrows of life could turn a person bitter. Take away any joy or peace. They become grumpy and complaining. And you know when a person's bitter. They don't attract people. You know, bitter people don't attract people around them. They don't attract friends. They bounce off them. You don't want to be around bitter. Well, this woman could have been bitter. She could have thought, 12 years, I'm a Jewess. I'm a believer in the Torah. I've been to the priest. Nothing. Why am I like this? What have I done to deserve this? Why am I so ill? Why am I? She wasn't allowed out in public. She couldn't do shopping like other people because of her condition. The Lord didn't allow it. How many of you know, 12 years is a long time for a woman with this condition. 12 years. She could have become so bitter and thought, tried everything. What's the point? Then one day, she heard that Jesus was coming by. I don't know how. I don't know where, but somehow, some way, she said, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. Now, in one of the Gospels, it actually says, if I can touch him. She said, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. Here it says she thought, if I could touch his clothes, I'll be healed. But the other Gospel, I think it might be Luke, it says, if I can touch him. She said it out loud. If I can touch him. If I can touch him. If I can touch him, I'll be healed. Where did that come from? Well, how did she reason that out? Because I couldn't reason something out like that. She hasn't reasoned it out. But something started to rise within this woman. Suddenly she's found out that there's still a bit of faith there. She's still got faith. She's lost everything. But somehow, some way, there's a little bit of faith within her. And if I could touch him, I'll be healed. So she set out to see where he was. When she arrived, there were hundreds and hundreds of people milling around him. Maybe thousands. She is ill. She's fainting. How could she get to where Jesus was? How is this possible? But if I can touch him, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. Now, with this faith that's starting to rise, you sense a desperation. Because physically she can't do it. She's too ill. And as she starts to push through the crowd, and she's having to push through, I don't know how many times she would have stumbled and fell. Remember, we're talking hundreds of people, possibly thousands around him. While she was doing this, a man came to Jesus named Cornelius. He came from the other direction. He didn't have to push through the crowd. He's a ruler of the synagogue. The people just would stand out of the way for him to come. They would make a carpet for him to come up to Jesus. He just walked up to Jesus. He said, Master, my daughter, she's sick. She's 12. She's sick. She needs you to come and touch her. And Jesus had compassion on the man. And he says, okay, come on, we'll go. And so he starts to walk. I can see Jesus putting his arms around this man and starting to walk with him. Away from the woman. Jesus didn't know she was there. And then while they were walking, I don't know how many steps they'd walked, but then one of his servants came and said, Master, don't trouble him anymore. She's dead. Your daughter is dead. Because this guy, his heart sank. His daughter's dead. Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. And he started again. Come on, let's go. We're going to go to her. By that time, this woman had pushed her way through the crowd. And I got a sneaky suspicion she was on her knees. Because when she touched him, she touched the hem of his garment. I reckon she just touched his garment, and something happened. Something happened. There was a spiritual, chemical reaction. She touched something and she was healed and she fell back into the crowd. Back in. Jesus stopped. And he turned around and he said, "Who's touched me?" And the disciples said, "Who's touching you? Everybody's touching you." You see, they didn't make a sort of ring around him. They were wanting to touch him. They were wanting to be part of it. There was a crowd of people. And he asked this stupid question, "Who touched me?" "Well, they're all touching you." "No, somebody touched me." And he stopped there. And he said, "Who was it?" He didn't know. He did not know. The word of knowledge was not working in him. The Holy Spirit hadn't told him. Listen, this is how remarkable, remarkable this story is. Jesus himself did not know that this woman was behind. Didn't know her name. Didn't know her condition. And she wasn't the only one that was sick. In any crowd, there'd be hundreds that were sick, that were wanting to be healed. But she got healed, and she disappeared, and he stops. Cornelius would have been thinking, "Master, we don't have time for this. You know, we don't have time for this." But he stopped. He said, "Come on, who is it?" Now, I don't know how long, whether it was just a minute or two there. But eventually, she felt so guilty, she came out and said, "It was me. I did it. I touched you." Do you know what he said to her? He didn't know her name. He just says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Wow. Come on. "Your faith has healed you." Do you know what she did? Her faith reached out and touched God's grace. You know, God, it says about Jesus that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John chapter 1. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the dark, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. And then he says, "And the Word was made flesh." The Word became Jesus, was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Listen to this. The glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everybody say grace. A little bit louder. Shout it louder. Grace. Jesus Christ is grace. He's full of grace. When she touched him, she didn't realize she was touching God's grace. Hallelujah. Her faith connected with the grace of God, and a chemical reaction took place, and the sickness was gone. Hallelujah. Now, there were hundreds of sick people in that crowd on that day, and they were touching him, trying to press in, get touch. They were touching him, but they weren't touching him. They weren't touching him by faith. They were touching him out of curiosity, out of interest. Who is this? Could this possibly be the preacher? Could this possibly be the apostle? Could this possibly be the prophet? Could it possibly be the Messiah? And this woman that said, "If I touch him, I'd be healed." She knew his name, Jesus. Can anybody tell me what Jesus means? Jesus means Savior. Everybody say Savior. Shout it loud. Come on. Savior. Don't be afraid to say it loud again. Savior. She knew his name meant Savior. If I could touch him. I don't know where that came from, friends. But I tell you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to search her out and say, "Lady, you've been such an encouragement to me, because there have been times in my faith when I haven't felt faith. There's been times when I've wanted to complain. There's been times when I've wanted to moan and groan. There's been times when I've wanted to cry. There's been times when I've wanted to run away." And I think, why is this happening to me? I'll never forget once I was in Geraldton walking along the beach, and I was so angry with God. "You shouldn't talk like that, Pastor John. How dare you talk? How could you get angry with God?" Because I'm human. Don't tell me you haven't asked God sometimes, "Why is this happening to me?" I remember I was on the beach. I was angry. Fortunately, at Geraldton, the beaches are mostly deserted. So I was on my own. And I was talking to God. God, where are you? God, why has this happened? Please, I'm looking for an answer now. And I actually shouted at God. I actually raised my voice and said, God, you better come through for me now. I demand it. And do you know what I heard? Just a deafening silence. Nothing. And I started to slink home like this. And then I felt the Lord say to me, go home. I'll talk to you when you've calmed down. And I thought, I'd do that to my kids. Go in your room. I'll talk to you when you've calmed down. Do you know what I mean? You parents, I felt God say that. I was telling God off, and he was just saying, I'll talk to you, but not now. There have been times when I've been angry with God as a pastor. As a state president, I've been angry with God. I'm human because I don't know everything. Wish I did. I don't know everything. A lot of things happen. I haven't got a clue why they're happening. And sometimes I can get angry. This woman, when she was pressing towards Jesus, what do you think the devil was telling her? He'd be saying to her, you don't stand a chance. You silly old woman. You've been sick for 12 years. God's put this on you. Put up with it. If you wasn't meant to be sick, you'd have got healed the first time. This is God. That's what the devil would have said to her. And as she starts to press her, he'd give up. He doesn't even know you're there. Look, he's walking away. You're not going to even get to him. He's walking away. He doesn't know you. Look, he's with Cornelius. That's an important man. He's going with him. He won't know. Doesn't know you. Well, the truth was, he didn't know her. But her faith, when she touched him, connected with his grace. Hear me now. She didn't connect with his clothes. She touched his clothes, but it wasn't his clothes that she connected with. She connected with his grace. Because something came out of him into her. He didn't come out of his clothes. He came out of him. If he came out of his clothes, he wouldn't have known it. It came from him. This woman had the ability, because she refused to become bitter and let life crush her. She just kept her hope in God. As you were saying earlier, there's hope in the future. And the hope always feeds faith. You can't have faith without hope. Hope comes, and she got hope. So when I get to heaven, I'm going to spend a long time talking to her. I've got to ask all about that. What happened? How did that faith rise within you? How was it that you touched? Well, there was a chemical reaction. And I want to tell you something. I thank God for chemical reactions like that. Those where, and some of you have experienced it. Some of you have experienced chemical reactions where you've touched God. There's been times when I've not had healings. I mean, last week I was having my face sprayed for skin cancer. I've had two big ones removed. I've had 17 removed from my face altogether. I've got another 3 that they got. And I've got then a melanoma on my back, so that's got to go and have a big chunk took out of that, you see. But I know what it is. And I've said, God, heal me. But I tell you what, I've also connected with God on several occasions. Just a couple of years ago, I had a bad fall. Really bad. I played squash for 30 odd years, and I think I wore my cartilage through, and I was doing some work for one of my sons, and I was kind of a big concrete block just a couple of years ago, and I tripped and I started to fall. I thought, I can't let this concrete block my face hit into that. Quicker as anything, I put my knee out and crunch on my knee. I went everything fully on my knee. I got up in agonizing pain, but carried on working. I worked for another 2 days before the pain was so excruciating, I had to go to the doctors. So I goes to the doctors, send me for an x-ray, and he says, it don't look like there's anything broken. I said, well, I'm in absolutely bad pain. By then, I was on a walking stick. I was in agony. And he said, I'm going to send you to a specialist. So I sent me to a specialist. The specialist says, I can't read these x-rays. He said, they mean nothing to me. He says, you've got to go for an MRI. So he sent me for an MRI. When I went back with the MRI, I was got this stick in my hand, and I was excruciating, praying, agony like this. And he says, sit down there, sat down. He says, here's the MRI results. He says, you see that black mark there between your knee, that black, he says, yeah, he said, that's where your cartilage should be. He says, you haven't got one. And I said, oh, it'll be a keyhole job, will it? He says, no, it won't be a keyhole job. He says, you need a total knee reconstruction. You've got no cartilage in your knee. And he showed me where the bone was pressing on the bone, and it was going black because it was, he says, you've got it. So he booked me in for January of last year, January the 12th, to St. John of God's Hospital for a full knee reconstruction. And then he said, but I want to see you before the end of the year, so for a blood test. So he sent me for a blood test, and he said, come back with the results. I'll go through all again what we're going to do. He said, this is a big operation. He said, you realize after this operation, you'll never play squash again. You can't run. Even after the operation, you could still be in pain. He says, often it works for people, often it still leaves them in pain. So he's going through all this. So anyway, I'll go away, and they come back again just before Christmas. I've got to go in about 3 weeks' time. And this time I'm walking in. I ain't got a walking stick. I'm walking like this. He took a look at me. He says, sit there. Sit down there. So I sat down. He said, no, get on the couch. I got on his couch. He got my leg and he says, do you feel that? I said, no. He said, do you feel that? I said, no. Do you feel that? No. He says, is it hurting you at night time? I said, no. He said, what are you taking? Nothing. Taking no tablets at all. He says, what's your regime during the day? I say, I walk for an hour in the morning with my dog, and I walk for half an hour in the afternoon with my dog, and I go to the gym twice a week. And he muttered to himself, says, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I said, pardon? He said, I'm not doing it. He was like to himself. I said, what are you saying? He says, I'm not doing it. I says, you're not doing what? He said, I'm not going to operate. He says, what's the point of me operating? You've got no pain. There's nothing there. And I said to him, can you live without cartilage? He said, well, you are, aren't you? This is true. So I was a bit confused at that. So he said, no, I'm not doing it. So we cancelled. So I went out of his suite and I went into the parking, got in my car, sat there, and I'm bewildered because I'm all, Pamela, my daughter's cancelled a holiday for me so she can look out when I come out of hospital, look after me. Oh, it was all ready. What a disappointment. Suddenly it's cancelled. I'm sitting there in my car and I thought, this is a miracle. I've been healed. Come on. Don't you think that's a bit? Listen, I've got no cartilage in my knee. Wow. And I go to the gym still. And I run at the gym. That's a miracle. 1977, when Youngie Joe visited Perth, I'd put my back out so bad, they put me in hospital. I was in a bad, bad way. And they took x-rays. And the doctor said to me, John, this is bad news. It's 1977. He said, look at your back where it's all broken there and there. He says, we can operate. This was back then. The operations are different today. They're more advanced. But back then, he says, we could operate, but you could end up worse than what you are now. He says, this is bad what you've done. And he said, I said, okay. I'll have a bit of physio, I said. He said, well, that's not going to help you. And he says, I want you to know that you'll never do a full day's work in your life again. And within a short period of time, you'll be in a wheelchair. This is 1977. So I came home. I got the x-rays of my back. Do you know what I did with them? I burned them. And I said to God, well, Lord, they can't do anything for me, but I think you can. And guess what? I got healed. Never had an operation. And I've never been back to have my back checked. Ever. I've not had my knee checked. Don't want to. I don't know what condition my back's in, but I know I'm healed. But other things like my skin cancers, they're still coming. But I've worked something out about skin cancers. I've had 17 operations on my face. And every time they go in, some of them been big, to take basal carcinomas out. What I've realized is that when they take them out, it's a nip and a tuck. Gets rid of the, you know, isn't that wonderful? So I think God hasn't healed me of the cancers because he wants me to stay looking young. I'm only joking. Don't tell me. Don't get super spiritual on me. But what I'm trying to say to you is, there's times I've touched God. There's times I've touched him. There's another time when I got a healing, instant healing. I had a duodenal ulcer. It was shocking, really bad. I won't go into the details, but I was vomiting blood. It was bad. And this is when I was doing youth camps. And one Saturday, I was there, and I was sitting on the front row at Bustleton, the church. I was sitting there, and I suddenly felt like little electric shocks go up and down. It was a strange feeling. And the pain went. It lasted maybe 30 seconds, and it went. I've never had indigestion from that day to this, or vomited blood. I've never been back to the doctors about it. But what I did do, I went to church and I was giving the testimony that I'd got healed at such and such a time. And three ladies came to me from the church and said, "What time did you say you got healed?" I told them it was 2:30 in the afternoon. They said, "Guess what? We were in this church praying for you at 2:30. Wow. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. So I got healed then, and that would got nothing to do with me. It was one of these ladies touch God. Faith, when it touches grace, there has to be a reaction. Your faith cannot touch the grace of God and have nothing happen. How many people in here this morning are saved and born again? Hands up, I want to see. That's most of you. Those who aren't, you can do. You can get saved before we finish. Every one of you that's raised your hand, you know what you've done? Your faith connected with the grace of God, and you got born again. The moment you believed, that moment you received. You may not be clever, you may not know theology, you may not have even been to church before, but when you actually believe that Jesus is your Savior, bang, it happened, and a chemical reaction took place, and here you are, born again. Not perfect, but born again. And you're still here today, amen? Because I'm telling you, friends, when you believe in God's grace, I'm talking about faith, not hope now. When you're built on your hope, faith, something will happen. Glory. Come on. If you need healing, reach out to Jesus. I mean, by faith, this woman, take a leaf out of a book and say, "I'm not going to complain about this. I'm not going to moan and groan about it." Do you know what I've seen people do? I've prayed for people when they come out to be prayed for. I've seen people, when I've prayed for them, they've got a gammy knee or something like that, go back like this, going, and then they've got, "I didn't get healed." Don't say that. I was once in Catherine, up north, praying for a lot of Aboriginals. An Aboriginal conference was on. And this guy came out, tall guy, but he walked with a limp. And he'd got long trousers on. He says, "Pastor, pray for my knee." He says, "I broke it when I was a boy, and it never got healed properly, and it's all big bulbous thing there," he says, "and a limp." I said, "Okay." And the power of God was there. I felt the presence of the Lord. I laid my hands on his knee, and I prayed. I said, "Do you believe?" He says, "Sure do, Pastor. I believe." As I prayed for him, it shrunk. Oh, wow. And he went, "Praise the Lord." And just his faith connected. Do you see what I'm saying? Faith connects. Don't say to me you don't have faith if you're born again, because you're born again. It's connected. Otherwise, you won't be born again. You'll be sitting there ignorant. But you're here because you're born again. So your faith can connect. You need finance, your faith can connect. You need a better marriage, your faith can connect. You need your kids to come right, your faith can connect. Start letting your faith connect with him. Amen. And I've preached over time, haven't I? Gone way over. I'm sorry about that. Really, so I preach more, but I've changed this message because I believe somebody here needs to hear this. I don't know whether it's to do with salvation, your marriage, finance, sickness in your body. I don't know what it is, but I want you to know God's saying to you, you can be healed, you can be saved, you can be forgiven, you can be set free if your faith will connect with his grace. You can't offer God grace, only he can do that. But you can offer him faith to touch it. And that faith connects and a chemical reaction takes place. So just close your eyes. Bow your head. I've changed this message because I really felt God told me to do this. So somebody here, God's speaking to you. You have a particular problem. And God is saying to you, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't back off. Don't throw the towel in. Don't say it's too much for me. Because when you touch God, nothing is too much. God is all-powerful. Can I say this to you? Don't you dare think that God doesn't care. It's amazing. Jesus didn't even know she was there, but his faith was drawn to, his compassion was drawn to her. His grace was drawn to her. Don't say God doesn't care. Don't say God doesn't feel your pain, because he does. Don't say God doesn't know about my loneliness, because he does. Don't say God doesn't know about my temptations. He knows, and he cares, and he wants you in a better place than what you are today. You've come into this building, and God's saying to you, you should be in a better place than what you are. Just let your faith reach out and touch me. While every head is bowed, nobody look around, please. Nobody. Keep your head bowed, your eyes closed. I'm going to ask a question. Do you think God is speaking to you? That's my question. This is going to be a bit strange what I'm going to do now. But you listen, if you believe, nobody look around. I don't want anybody looking around. If you believe that God has spoken to you, I want to see your hand. Just raise it so I can see it. God bless you. Thank you, 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 thank you. Okay, put your hands down. Now, Father, for every man and woman that raised their hand in this place today, I pray when they go from this place, they won't go away from this sermon. I pray this message will burn in their hearts and that they'll work on their faith to get it to connect with your grace. Now, Lord, because so many hands went up, I know that there's lots of different needs, but your grace is sufficient for us. No matter what the person who raised their hand is wanting in their life, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But I pray that their problem will be met. Their sickness will be healed. There will come an answer in their marriage or in their work situation or whatever it may be, with the children or whatever, Lord. I pray the answer will be there because they will touch you by faith. Faith reaches up. Grace pours down. I pray for healing, for miracles to happen in this place for the glory of your name. Now, Father, as we now finish and we go for a drink of coffee and some dinner, I just pray we won't let go of this. And Lord, if they need to get this tape, I pray that they will do so. So that, Lord, they can play it over and over again, so that faith will rise and grace will connect, and that they will be whole in you. Daughter, son, your faith has healed you. Daughter, son, your faith has saved you. Daughter, son, your faith has made you whole. Father, we go in that expectation in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.